Brian, and welcome to BattlefieldResumes.com Leadership Podcast, where my twin brother Bruce and I are committed to building better leaders. From webcasts to webinars, podcasts to personal services, one-on-one coaching to online opportunities, remember, the key to success begins with building the leader in you. As part of the John Maxwell team, we want to live out the principles that John teaches. This is our rule of five that we seek to practice every day. To lead, to grow, to create, to excel, and to serve. Please visit us at BattlefieldResumes.com. And remember, make today count.
Yeah, hello, this is Brian with BattlefieldResumes.com. And I've got Bruce on the other line, and together we're going to be talking a little bit about, one, again, what Battlefield Resumes, the purpose behind that is, and two, is the importance of networking in order to land a career. And, I mean, bottom line is that it's probably one of the most important things to do. It's just trying to figure out how to do it. To make it successful. So, Bruce, can you explain a little bit about BattlefieldResumes.com and what it does for the transitioning military men?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Bruce Benedict, president of Battlefield Resumes. And, you know, Battlefield Resumes was created to help veterans translate and interpret the civilian workforce. You know, most of us grew up in the military, maybe a lot of us knew from the day we were born that the military was in our blood. And then after high school, we went into the military. I mean, we were born and bred to be in the military. But at a certain point, you're transitioning. And so you have to take that battlefield methodology that you learned in the military and in your blood that you were born with and leverage it to the civilian workforce. And if you can do that, then you'll have an advantage over other applicants who are not familiar with any of the methodologies that you were taught. And so what we've tried to do is create a battlefield resume methodology to help you with job searching, resume writing, cover letter writing, interviewing, and networking. And so tonight we're going to talk to you a little bit about networking, and networking is extremely important. And one of the reasons it's extremely important is because networking can not only refer your resume, and remember, about 80% of all hires are hired because somebody inside the organization referred their resume, all right? They referred you. They referred you and your character. They basically stood up to their organization and said, I will vouch for this person, all right? I know this person's character, and this person's character will blend in extremely well in our organization. The other thing that networking does is it will allow you to actually receive feedback from your resume that's been submitted. You know, probably 90% of the people that I work with are frustrated when it comes to feedback. They talk to hiring managers. They talk to recruiters. They go to job fairs. They submit resumes. They'll submit 100 resumes. They go on LinkedIn. They submit their resume. They talk to all kinds of people, and they never hear anything back. There's no closure. And so that's very, very frustrating, because whether or not the organization wants to hire you or not, you know, obviously you want to get hired. But what you really want to know is, should I even worry about obtaining this position tomorrow? And so if you have an inside person, your network, if you have an inside person, that inside person can check on your resume status and can tell you what the status is. Hey, they're not hiring right now. They've picked somebody else up for that position. They're looking at your resume more thoroughly. They will probably call you in the next 2 weeks. You know, all of those items matter. How do you receive the feedback? You have got to have a network inside the organization for which you're applying. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Brian, you had some points as well, right?
Yeah, well, you know, as far as, you know, the networking thing, it is important because, but, you know, I think sometimes you have to ask yourself a few questions when you're doing this. When you go into any situation, first of all, we have to learn how to network and where do we do that. Then once we get there, what do we do? And so because it is important, and I always state that just take yourself, for instance, someone listening to this podcast, and ask yourself who's the last person that you actually referred to a job or a friend that needed an employee, and it's probably not very many people, first of all, because we refer, when we're young, we refer about anybody just because we think we're doing them a favor, and what happens is they don't show up to work or they have a terrible work ethic, and so it kind of embarrasses us and makes us look bad, so we really are cautious on who we refer. So when you're going into an event, say a conference or say a club organization, when you're going into an event, think about that. Think about, you know, you have to build a relationship with these people because they're not going to just refer you because they're just going to refer you because of your character. But they have to get to know you. And that's why it's important to, you know, you have to know what you're there for at networking events. And I think, you know, the military, it's been a long time since I've been in the military. And maybe they have some of these networking events, but in the civilian world, they have events. They have conferences. They have all kinds of leadership conferences or, you know, your career conferences. They have meetups where it's different professional interests, and they have a meetings once a month, and they get together and they talk about the latest and greatest of that. All that is great networking opportunities. And so, but you don't go in trying to sell your product. You have to sell you first. And it doesn't happen overnight. You just don't go in acting like you're going to, acting like you need to get a job. The last thing you want to do is be needy. You got to build your character and trust. So, do they have anything
well,
like that,
you know,
in the military or what, or as you're transitioning out of it, or? Do they
well,
have something like that?
Yeah, one of the major organizations that assists with that is what's called Business Networking International, BNI. And the owner of BNI received an award from John Maxwell. And but the way BNI works is just like you were saying. You know, or let's take the quote from Zig Ziglar. If you first help people get what they want, then they will help you get what you want. But you have
exactly.
to help them first. And the
right.
BNI methodology is where they'll have organizations, and you can see them on Meetup and all these other websites. You join the organization, and they only allow, in certain cities, obviously, they only allow certain specialties, skills, right? So let's say if you're a leadership coach, okay, well, guess what? You're going to be the only leadership coach in that BNI organization for that city. If you are a fireman, you're going to be the only fireman in that club. If you're an insurance salesman, you're going to be the only insurance salesman in that club in that city. And why do they do that? Now, they limit it only to one skill set per city or per group. And that's because everybody in that group refers whoever they know and whoever asks them for help regarding whatever issue to somebody else in that group. So if I'm an insurance salesman and you're a fireman, and I have a friend, and I'm in the, we're in the same group, and I have a friend, a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, who brings up the subject of wanting to join the fire department, then guess what? I put that person in touch with the fire department person in my group. And that's okay. How that networking works. Everyone is obligated to refer to those in their group. So what does that do? You're helping them get what they want, and eventually they will help you get what you want.
Right. That's mm-hmm. true. I mean, you and I think it's you have to set your ego aside, and you have to just go in it to help others first. And you know, years ago, I think you know, when you're young and, you know, in your teens and then in your 20s, sometimes actually it's very difficult, and we've all made mistakes, and we've all through the years just probably thought more of us. I know I have. I've thought more of what I want to tell people what I do than listen to them. And over time in doing a lot of these different being in a lot of these different positions that I've been in, it's people love talking about themselves, so ask them about themselves. And that's kind of the philosophy that I go on, is that you have to be really genuinely interested in them. And once you become interested, not everybody is interested in others. I mean, there are some people that could care less about others. So they're going to have a very difficult time networking. Have you probably meet quite a few of those. I know I did when I was in the service. If you don't change, then you're not going to build relationships. Don't you agree? I mean,
oh yeah,
you,
yeah. I mean, no, I think there's three key issues I think that you have to keep in mind, and one is, you know, when you're talking to someone, you know, the influence that you have at that point in time, what you don't want to do is translate that how much you want a job, right? So what you want to do is you want to convey to the person that you're talking to, that you're trying to network with, that you're trying to connect with, do you actually care for them? You know, so if you are sitting in their seat, listening to what you're saying, what's your impression of yourself? You know,
right.
Really, do you care for me? That's what they're asking themselves. Can
right.
you help me? You know, look, I mean, I come into an organization. Look, I want everybody to help myself, right? I want them to help me. But when you're networking, you have to flip-flop. You have to go and say, what am I doing to help that person? And what am I doing that will convey that I care about that person? So
right.
I have to care about the person. I have to help the person. And then lastly, what am I doing that will build trust in me? So that person
right.
will trust me. If you switch positions from a different perspective, and you're the one behind the desk, or you're the one that somebody else is trying to network with, you know, you're asking yourself the same thing. Really? This guy's talking to me. I'm going to ask myself three things. Does he care for me? Can he help me? And can I trust him?
Right.
And if all three of those are yes, now I will move forward to the next step. All right?
Yeah.
Which is normally a next meeting. But those three items are important. And so to try to figure out how to network with somebody you've never met and go in and just strike up a conversation and try to convey to them that you care about them, you want to help them with whatever it is that they need help with, and you want to be trustworthy to them. And those
right.
are the three key points, I think, that are extremely, extremely important.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, when you go into some of these things, when you go into an organization or a club or a meeting or something like that, and you are always networking. I'm in a lot of hotels, and if you want to network, you can network in those hotels. You can network with anybody that you run into. You never know. What's interesting is you just never can judge a book by the cover. The person that you run into may be that person that is that key link between you and the job that you're wanting. So, you know, the connection questions that unlock the answers. I usually say the who, what, when, where, and whys. If you can just concentrate on that when you're in some place, first of all, again, concentrate. The number one thing is not go in wanting to talk about yourself. Be genuinely interested. And keep it focused as far as what you're there for. You know, I think, and I always go back to goals. I think everybody has to figure out what their purpose is, but they also, that's on a large scale. They figure out, okay, I want to help people, or I want to be in this position, or I want to get this job, I want to make this dollar amount. And that's definite, you know, definiteness of purpose. But I think when you go into certain situations, you have to have a definiteness of purpose in that situation. And my purpose, what is it today going into this conference? It's not to sell my product or tell too many people about me. It is to get to know as many people as I can on a personal level. And I mean, let's face it, when you go into a conference, most of the people there at any kind of meeting or club or anything, they're there for the same reason. So, you know, lighten up and don't be so stressed over it. There's some people that, man, they start sweating, they get those sweat rings, and they get some hives going on because they're scared to death.
Yeah. Right.
Just don't do, you know, kind of lighten up a little bit. You know, they got food and drinks, uh-huh, and a lot of times music there, and just relax and act like you're at your home watching a football game with the neighbors or something. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's really what it's all about. And make a friend. That's you always have to make the friend first and the client second. And so, I can't state that enough. Is that you basically go in and you're not going to, this person's not going to be your client, and you may not be working for them tomorrow. Okay, it's a long-term plan. It's going in, have a six-month goal that you're going to get to know everybody, and make it about the other person. Pull those who, what, when, where, and why questions out, and just start asking them. And once you start asking them a couple questions, people love talking about themselves and their families and their jobs and what they do and everything, what college they went to, what high school, and sporting events and everything. So, mm-hmm. You know, going back, I was wanting to find out, do they, you know, I mean, I was in almost 6 years and got out. But even when I got out years ago, they didn't have really anything for someone getting out of the service. They, you out-processed, you got on a plane, and we left Germany and landed, and that was pretty much it, you know. And so what do mm-hmm. they do? Is that pretty much the norm still? Or
no.
It seems like there's just a lot of different organizations, but what does the military itself do for a transitioning guy?
Yeah, there's all kinds of programs out there, transition assistance programs, Soldier for Life, things like that. You know, the challenge, I believe, at this point is there's so much out there that it becomes overwhelming. And the problem that you run into is when you're transitioning out of the military is you're required to attend a lot of the transition assistance programs. But a lot of the programs and a lot of the speakers within the programs give you conflicting advice. And so not only are you overwhelmed by the amount of help that's out there, which is good, right? It's, I mean, it's really, really
right.
good. But you're overwhelmed with the amount of help. And not only that, but a lot of the help conflicts with other help. And so now you don't know which one to trust,
right?
And we get back to the same thing, care, help, and trust. All right, I know that the Transition Assistance Program cares about me. I know the military cares about me because they're forcing me, they're requiring me to attend the transition programs. I know that they can help me because they bring in all kinds of speakers. The challenge is I don't know if I trust them, right? They are
right.
trying the best they can, but when you receive conflicting advice, then it becomes confusing, right? And now the soldier starts to doubt the information. I try to make sense out of it, and this is what I say to most transitioning soldiers, is that the advice that you receive, the overwhelming assistance and advice that you receive is 99% correct. The majority, if not all, of the advice that you receive is actually correct and accurate, even though most of the advice is different. Now, how can that be? Right? That sounds weird, right? So if you were one of the guys like myself and you received all this information and all of it conflicted with each other and you still didn't even know where you were going to start because all of it was different. Everybody told you to start from a different starting point. Right? So what do you do? And now Bruce is telling you that all of it's correct. Right? Well, I'm telling you all of it's correct because all of it, in my mind, because I had to make sense of it myself, all of it was correct and accurate in accordance with where the individual who was giving it to me was at in their career. All right? So if you have a consultant in a corporation giving you advice at a job fair, the advice that person's giving you is based on their experience only and the level of their career that they're at right now. It's correct advice for them. So you use it as tools in your toolbox. Now,
right.
you move on to a – let's say you go to a job fair and you go to a multiple booths. You go to 10 different booths at a job fair. You go to 10 different booths. All 10 booths tell you something different to do. They all conflict. You actually leave the job fair more confused than when you started. Now, why is that? Well, the information is not actually incorrect. It's not even inaccurate. It's actually good information and accurate information for the individuals who gave it to you. So what you have to do as a transitioning service member is understand that the information given to you by all these individuals is correct for their career field and for wherever they are in their career, you know, whatever level, right, at whatever stage. And you take that advice and you put it in your toolbox. All right, but you have to be very, very selective in the advice given to you because you need to understand, you know, does the individual giving you advice, is that individual in the same career field as you, a coworker of yours if you apply to the job, right? I mean, that's some good inside information.
Right.
So now it's more accurate. So the closer you get to receiving advice from somebody who's sitting in the seat that you want to sit in, the more narrow your target becomes, the more you can understand and listen and actually apply what the individual is saying. But, you know, my advice to most people is when you're connecting and you're trying to talk to people about, you know, giving advice and working with them, it's all about you at that point, because you're receiving so much information. But the initial part of the entire process should not be about you. Look, the individual you're talking to knows you need a job. All right? Everyone's always looking for something. Even if you have a job, everyone's always looking for another job. All right? They always want something more, something better. What you want to try to do is help the other person, convey your character to them. That's how you connect. I mean, one of the key concepts is connecting begins when the other person feels valued. So now if you turn that around, even if you go to a job fair and you're talking to someone, yeah, they're going to give you advice. You throw it in your toolbox, all right? And it may apply later on. It may not. But it's in your toolbox. You can always refer to it. But what are you trying to do at a job fair or when you're talking to people? You're trying to add value to them, all right? So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, now what can I do to increase my value of others, all right? So now when you leave the job fair, you've actually added value to some of the people behind the booths that you want a job with. Let's say you're applying to Boeing, you're applying to Booz Allen, you're applying to Lockheed Martin. Well, you go to their booths and you're talking to the individuals. It takes a little planning and preparation. Before you go to the booth, how are you going to connect with them behind the booth? You don't even know them. They know you're there for a job. How are you going to connect with them and add value to them? Okay? How are you going to convey that you care about them more than they care about you, that you want to help them, and that they should trust you? How are you going to do
that?
Well,
let me ask you this.
Challenge.
Let me ask you this. Do they have some of these, you know, at trade shows and things is I think it's difficult myself to add value to a booth when you go to a booth to the people behind the booth. I've set up and been behind the booth, and it's hard because they come and there's hundreds of, you know, 50 to 100 or whatever booths around. It depends on the, you know, how big it is. But trying to establish relationships in a scenario like that, those, you know, I think that's one entity of networking, but I think there's so many other important better scenarios too, because
mm-hmm.
They have speakers, they have groups. You've spoke at some of those organizations, you know, in a seminar or a workshop. When you're in those environments
yeah.
where you can really network. Okay.
Yep.
When you're going up to a booth, you just, you know, it's a very, you know, quick, you know, it's not much of an interview typically, and you're either filling out papers or you're putting your name, you're giving them a card, they're giving you something. But when you're in a
mm-hmm.
workshop or seminar or conference, here's some suggestions, I think, is to, is to sit by somebody different each day in the conference, and try not to be the hermit, try not to be stuck in your own little world in the corner. I think that's really important.
So, you're good at this. You're really good at this. Let's take these 3 points, and I'm going to give you a scenario, all right? Because
okay.
you're really, really good at this. You know, but you are really, really good at this.
Well, this is battlefieldresumes.com at its best, and so let's
mm-hmm.
You know, one, if there's anybody out there listening to this podcast, they can call in, and so
mm-hmm.
We do have a call in number. It's 929-477-4063, and again, it's 929-477-4063. You can call in on your cell phone while you're driving in the car. You can call in while you're at your house watching TV, whatever. So if you have a question for myself or Bruce, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. But right now we're talking about how networking affects people and how important it is to actually landing a job and position. Most of the things we do come from networking. whether we want to accept that or not. Your experience is great, and it gets you in the front door. But your networking also does that too, and it just you have to. It's not really about who you know, but it's about who knows you. So your character is so important. So go ahead, Bruce. What were you saying a few minutes ago?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I wanted to try to give the audience, basically a how-to guide. All right. So, for instance, you're really good at this, and for me, like I was saying, I'm not. I like long-term relationships, and I'm really good at, trying to build those and the loyalty that goes along with it. I love that. Networking has never been a strength of mine. Hey, that's why you're here, man, because you're good at it. We're twins, and you're good at that half.
All right.
So now what I want to do is I want to put certain scenarios in your lap. Now, this is unexpected.
Sure.
All right. So,
yeah,
but I'm going to throw a couple scenarios. Right. Improv. This is good stuff. I want to throw a couple scenarios at you that I see almost every week. I saw it today. I was at the Tech Expo a hiring event today. Saw it today. And so I'm going to throw these at you, and I want you to tell us how you would do it, all right? Because anybody listening should take notes and go, okay, I'm going to try this, right? Because this is really how it's done. I mean, everyone tells us what, it gets old being told what to do. I want to tell people how to do this stuff. So,
right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm standing at a conference today, and I'm doing a seminar for 1 hour on job fair strategy, right? And look, that's my specialty, how to target and tailor resumes for a job fair, for the job you want, any of that stuff. There's about 50 people in the audience, and they're all sitting next to each other. I don't know if anyone actually talked to each other, okay? But let's just say, for instance, that we were in that you were in the audience there and you recognized the person sitting next to you as somebody who works at one of the companies at the job fair that you wanted to apply to. All right?
Okay.
Okay. So let's take a step back. So on my strategy for job fairs is you know the job fair you're going to in a week, let's say. So you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go to every one of those websites of all the companies that are going to be there next week. I'm going to find the jobs that I want. So now you found, let's say, the 6 jobs you want to apply to. You know the companies that are offering those. And you happen to realize, because you got to the job fair early, that the person working behind the booth of the company that's offering the job that you want just happens to be sitting right next to you during the seminar before the hiring event starts.
Right.
All right. Now, you're listening to the speaker, but you're sitting there next to the person. We're going to figure out how do you talk to the individual and express that you care for them or you are there to help them, they can trust you. How do you
right.
do that, Brian?
Well, I tell you, the first thing is you have to, I have to have a pleasing personality. It takes a little bit of energy to be able to do it. You have to have a calm and confident voice, okay? And again, the energy and the enthusiasm, you don't want to be too much. You don't want to be, it's kind of a happy medium. So if I know that and I'm sitting down next to that person, I'm going to energize myself. And realistically, I mean, I've been in front of a lot of people on the stage for years, but if I do like my own time, so I'm kind of, on my time, I'm behind closed doors, and I like my own solitude sometimes. But I think you have to have a reserve tank of energy, and because it does take energy to be able to network appropriately and properly. Because I can just picture it, I'm walking into a conference room, and you have about 50 people there, and there's an opening, a chair that's open, and I recognize that guy or that lady who I know is an employee there that is in management or hiring or something. So first of all, I gotta put in my confident inner being, I guess you could say. Okay. And I have to shift into energy. Okay. Now, not to say that I'm going to be talking fast. I'm not going to be doing any of that, because what I do is I take a deep breath before I even have walked in any place. Now, this is kind of sounds a little strange too, Bruce, but before I do anything, I go to the restroom a lot. Okay? And I say
okay.
Not just to go to the restroom, okay? And I say it not just to go to the bathroom, but I say it because I go in there, I go before I would even go in that conference room. If you were with me, before I go into some of these sales calls that I go on, I stop at McDonald's and go to the bathroom. But I don't really go to the bathroom. I go in front of the mirror, okay?
Yep.
And I always check from the top down. You know, do I have boogers in my nose? Is there something in my teeth? Do I have my zipper unzipped? I always do that. It's become a habit. And if I could say anything, it's that habit. You have to create and consistently do these little habits. And so I know before I even walk in there that I'm up to standards, okay? I'm like right before – I mean, I think a lot of it is when you first get in the military and you're sitting in those squads, you know, and you have those inspections. You're creating this confident person before you even walk in there. And so you don't know who you're going to meet. So all of a sudden you walk in there and there's that person. Well, that's great. Let's say that the person's there. I walk up to them and I say, I sit down next to them. That's basically what we're talking about. I sit down next to him, and I'm just inside. I have some energy, but I see how they're sitting. Okay, so I sit just like they do.
Oh, you mirror them.
Correct. First of all, okay, and I sit just like they do. I do what anybody else does, and I'll say, "Hey, how are you today?" And they'll say, "Oh, fine." So I sit just like they do. And I kind of pause a second, and I'll look, and I'll be like, I heard this was a – oh, man, I think I just met you just a little while ago at the booth from such and such, if that's what happened. You know, I mean, you see how I cut it off like that? I was going for one conversation and then cut it and went to them. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I mean, it's fast, but it's one of those things, and I do that a lot. It's just like
repeat
you know,
that so we can understand that. Yeah. so it doesn't come intuitively to some of us like me.
Right. Well, and it's not that I'm not being genuine. It's just the way I start conversations a lot of times. So if I already know that person is there, if I don't even know that's who that is. The idea of conferences is to meet the person you're sitting next to. Okay. So I'll go in there and I'll say you're up there speaking and I'll say, man, I've heard, you know, Bruce Benedict was pretty good at speaking. And did I run into you? And if I recognize them, I immediately say, man, were you at the Booz Allen or say wherever, you were behind that counter earlier, weren't you? I thought I ran into And it's just a good conversation piece. Yeah.
You asked them a question.
I just did, yes.
Yeah. You asked them a question.
Okay.
And, you know, instead of telling them about yourself, you asked them you gave them the microphone.
That's
them
correct.
A question. You know, so unlike a, you know, it's an open-ended statement, whatever, it's a question. That person is now obligated, at least in the United States, you know, inherently, culturally, to
right.
answer you. Right.
Right. Right. And it was a short question. I mean, it was just, especially if I recall seeing them, I'll always do that. But I'll interrupt what I'm saying myself. Oh, like I was in midstream of talking about you being the speaker up there, and I
mm-hmm.
cut myself off to say, man, don't I know you someplace, or you pay that person a compliment? Now, you got to remember here, we're not here to, first of all, compliments. That's such a great way to start a conversation, and I have done that so many times. You know, you don't start a conversation with a compliment to pick up people, okay? We don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be professional again. It's to be professional, and it is to remember, you genuinely want to know about them, and people want to hear compliments. And so, you know, say, for instance, and I don't care who it is, say, for instance, that person right there was the cologne that they were wearing, or the perfume, or the, you know, the clothing, or the shoes, or just saying a little bit of something. But you sit just like they do, and say it's shoes. I'm like, oh man, I really like those shoes. Where'd you get those at? Again, it's the who,
okay.
why, when, and where.
That was another question.
Correct.
No, that's good, man.
And I actually liked it.
You know, that's really good. Okay, so let's just focus right now on the, you know, how to initiate, right? Just how to initiate whatever. We're just going to leave a blank. So what you're telling me is that what you do and what you've learned, because you're extremely good at it, is that you will, once you've identified the individual, you'll sit down next to them nonchalantly, as if it's an accident. You will sit or stand just like them, which is mirroring, which actually makes them feel comfortable and as if they know you already. And then you will talk about a subject and in that sentence convert the sentence into a question. So they have to actually answer it.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
And usually usually I don't even start, I guess, usually I don't even start the conversation asking them a question. Usually it's about something completely different. And I'll say, well, let's take a look at, first of all, never discount anybody depending on what they wear, how they present themselves. Never judge the book by the cover, okay? Number one rule. So say I'm in the lobby of this place at a food court, and you have a lady that's she's fixing, and let's say it's kind of a buffet style, but there's a lot of people, so she's having to refill things and throw away things, and she's very, very busy. To her, that's her world. And even if she's making $5 an hour or $8 an hour, she deserves a compliment if she's doing well. And so what we have to remember is that the law of return is what you have to really think that way, because it is true. It's you give. So you give a compliment, you don't want anything back. So really, when you're networking, you know, you can't really go into networking saying, I'm going to do this so I can get this guy to give me a job. It doesn't work that way. The world
mm-hmm.
works in mysterious ways. You have to mm-hmm. genuinely be interested in each one of these people, and it will just work out. And so, for instance, the lady that's filling all the food up, I'll just use an instance, you know, that happened about a month ago, is she's filling the food up at this place and doing a great job. I've been to many places that are in the same type of realm, and they've been horrible. Food not filled, nothing out there, whatever. And it seems minor, but it is it's important to keep the conference folks, you know, happy. And this particular person realizes it. Didn't hardly say a word to anybody. She's just filling this and cleaning that and this. And I was getting my food, and I said, yeah, that coffee is – I said something like, that coffee really tasting good this morning. And, you know, by the way, you're doing a great job, and I just want to let you know that. Have you done this long? Again, it's the who, why, when, where, and how, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or like I just said, have you done this long? You're one of the better people that I've seen that actually do this particular job. And
right. She
says, well, thank you. You know, and you could actually have a, she wants to talk about that. And well, it is hard. And I said, I could only imagine. And then you get into asking more questions about that. Come to find out, she is married to a very important person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where that network is.
No.
Genuinely have to be nice and care for everyone for this thing to work out. And you're not doing it for any reward. You're doing it because the law of rewards says it will come back to you in other ways. Okay?
Right.
And it's important to know that. But, I think mirroring somebody is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
I think responding instead of reacting is good. I think a lot of it has to do with your voice. You start off calm with your voice. You have to kind of get a calm voice, a trustworthy voice. Find out once you start asking them questions how they speak. So if they speak in a slow draw, then you're going to continue to do the slow draw. If they speak rapidly, like maybe a East Coaster, I'd say like a New Yorker, or I just use that as an example, or New Jersey, you're going to have to speed up your talk, or they're going to get bored really quick. So you are mirroring them, really, and you're not only doing that with your voice, you're doing that with your body language as well. So
yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So if we were to break down, you know, how to initiate the networking process to anybody at any time, anywhere, then what we would say then is we would identify the individual. We would mirror whatever their physical features are. We would try to mirror whatever their verbal communication method is, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to initiate a statement that leads to a question all in one breath. And once they answer that question, we need to be We need to be involved in inquisitive to what it is they just said.
Right.
Right.
You hit it right there on the nail too. Is that all these things come into play? The biggest thing is listening. And once you ask the questions, to actually listen what they say, and I can't stress that enough. It's it takes some practice. We've discussed it in another podcast. Is that if you listen, people will tell you little bitty clues, okay? And then you can ask some questions about it. But yet, you know, you're genuinely interested in people, and so it shows through. Now, one thing I was going to talk about, clarify a little bit with the mirroring of your body language is, you know, if someone has their, like I'm sitting up right now on this desk, and if I was sitting across from somebody or next to somebody, I could, without saying anything, just try it. I say just try it at any of these conferences, at home, anywhere, is you lean up on the table. Don't make it obvious. Do it subtle, as if it's just part of what you do. When they lean back, in a few minutes, you lean back, and if they've got their feet crossed, you cross your feet. And you'll be amazed, even in the doctor's office, you'll be amazed just doing something like that, how the connection. You may even have somebody coming up and say, man, don't I know you from somewhere? You're familiar, you know. It's really strange how that works. The other thing is, you know, once you take a general interest in people, a lot of that falls into place. Also, the most important person, because this takes energy, the most important person at the time that you're talking is the other person. Okay? They don't really care how well your day went. You might have had a bad day just 5 minutes ago. They don't need to know that. Talking to them isn't a reason for you to get things off your chest. Okay? And it's hard. It's hard to do that until you keep practicing. The object is to get them to talk.
I think you made a great point. And for a lot of us who transition out of the military, we're used to having a pincushion, is what I call it. And more times than not, the pincushion is our spouse. You know, for better or for worse.
Right, right.
The military spouse, God love them to death. They put up with a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And one of the things they put up with is to be our pincushion. And they get stuck with all of the negativity that we bring home through our military career during the transition and then when we're into our civilian career. And and they take it. It's amazing to me. But you know, why I bring that up is whether you have a spouse who accepts the duty, I guess, of being a pincushion, or you have a friend who's your pincushion, right? Or you have a relative who's your pincushion. The fact of the matter is the cushion should not be the person that you are applying for a job with.
No.
Everything you say to that individual has to be positive. All the negative talk, all the negative emotions, facial features, aggravation for your pincushion. And I would even tell you that you need to make sure that your pincushion knows that they're your pincushion. All right? You need to let them know. Like my spouse. Look, I grew up in high school with my spouse. As a matter of fact, I knew my spouse when I was in kindergarten. All right? And I told her, as I entered the military as an E-1, look, hon, you really signed up to be my pincushion, all right? Do you want to be the pincushion or not? You know, she's like, yeah, I'll be a pincushion. And she's a good one, right?
Right.
And she takes it. I don't know how she does it, but she takes it. But what I'm saying is she knows that I am allowed to vent the negativity to her. Because it just bounces off of her. I don't know how she does it, but that's the backbone of a military spouse, right? But
you cannot allow
the negativity to progress into the organization that you're trying to apply to.
Right, and And I think, you know, really when you're applying for a position someplace, when you're interviewing, when you're networking in a conference, you don't want any negativity. And I think that's really, it takes energy. And I think that's a lot of times why people are really silent and quiet in situations like that, because it does take energy, because it's very easy to be negative, but it's a little harder to be positive and not talk about yourself. But you want to be the ray of, you want to be the ray of sunshine on their day.
Absolutely.
And that's what you want. You want to be the sunshine on their day. So,
you know, I tell people all the time, I've been a supervisor of people forever and a day, and that's an extremely negative atmosphere that you're trying to be as positive as possible and motivate people. If I'm sitting in a job booth or I'm hiring somebody and I'm interviewing somebody for a job, one of the key factors that I really would love to have, person interviewing for that job makes me feel better at the end of their interview what I felt at the beginning. Because I want that energy in my organization. I want their positivity in my organization. Whether or not they know anything about the job, I mean, yeah, it has a factor to it. But the positivity and the energy is what I need in my organization. And it definitely...
You put a bad apple in there, and it spreads like wildfire. And so,
absolutely,
you have to have positive people that aren't afraid to make a mistake. And I think we only have about 2 minutes left. So, but one thing is that you can't. I always say this too: you can't be afraid of your shadow. Okay, so what are they going to do? What's the harm? It's like when you're. You're in, say, I'll just say high school, or you're in college, or you're in some environment, and you don't want to go up there and talk to the girl that you think is attractive or something, okay? Why? What can they say? I mean, really, when you get down to it, the only thing we're afraid of, it's perfect. I believe it's Theodore Roosevelt.
Right.
The only thing we fear is fear itself. That's it.
Right.
And if you're calm, confident, you're not afraid of anything. So you just,
no.
You know that there's a possibility of that, but it's really not a big deal. You know, you have to have so many no's before you have a yes. And so why are you afraid of when you're networking with people? You just have to have the energy to be positive. If you are a positive light in their day, they're going to remember you, because most of the people are negative and they just blend in. So if you're positive, you know, and on the back, especially if there's a service member, if you give them your card, why not say thank you for your service? You know, on the back of that card, thank you for your service. You know, if you're giving this card even to somebody that, say for instance, you were hiring somebody, and the guy gave you his card. On the back of it, there was something on the back of it: thank you for your service, Major. You know, and I mean, that just makes you feel good. You're not going to forget the guy.
Right.
So.
Right.
Because nobody does it. It's the little things, you know. So.
It is. It's the little things. The little things indicate how big your character actually is.
Right. And so you got, you know, in about 10 seconds or so, do you have anything you want to end on, Bruce?
Yeah, I just, you know, the only thing I want to talk about is, lastly, is face your fear and go for it. You know, it's a fear of talking. It's a fear of meeting people. It's a fear of connecting or networking. Guess what? Face it, identify it, and just go for it. You know, speak the statement, lead it into a question, and force the other individual to talk about themselves. That's how you get over it.
And go to battlefieldresumes.com and build the business of you. Hey, thanks, Bruce. We'll catch you guys on the next podcast.
Sounds great. We'll see you next time.
All righty.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway. Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.